text we pray the Lord be pleased to speak to us from is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. We're continuing in the series, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is the third beatitude, and as the two that has preceded it, this beatitude grips us with the complete contradiction that it stands against the world. It stands in complete contrast to this world. The vast majority of men spend, and I mean spend, their entire lives in order to gain a piece of this world. They claw and scratch. They fight. They refuse to let anyone take advantage of them. They conspire and manipulate and cheat if need be in order to gain a small piece of this world. And yet here Jesus says it is the meek that will inherit the earth. What a complete difference than the mindset of most people today. This is quite opposite than the culture and times we find ourselves in. We are constantly pressured from all sides to follow the tide of culture, to go along with it and be like everybody else. The prevailing method to achieve is basically the method of self-assertion, self-promotion, and self-defense. The isms of self reign. Self-preservation, self-protection, self, on and on we go. But here Jesus introduces a radical idea, the reduction of self, the lowering of self, the humbling of self. He teaches that the winners and achievers are not the lowly. Are the lowly, not the mighty. The servants, not the leaders. The last, not the first. These are the ones who will come out on top in the very end. Many professing Christians find Jesus' prescription for gaining the world a bit too much, though. I suppose that for a good many of them, the problem is they've never really discovered the reality of their poverty of spirit. They really don't believe that they have nothing wherewith to serve God or to please Him. They've not seen themselves as they are. In fact, they think too highly of themselves. I believe that is the problem facing every person. The modern dilemma is not nuclear armament or terrorism by fundamental radical groups. No, the problem that faces humanity, every human being, is the problem of thinking too much of yourself. Therefore, to put themselves in a lesser position among men is simply beneath them. It's not commensurate. That means equal with the dignity they believe they possess or the respect that they believe they are entitled to. But even we who have been truly humbled and made to see our spiritual poverty can soon forget our bankruptcy. Too soon, I might add. Too soon do we let self out of the cage and we begin to entertain Him. And it's not before long that self takes the rule of the soul. He has the run of ourselves and our personalities, and we're no longer meek. But the Lord in His infinite mercy will not let us go long in this way. Do you know that you are tethered to God by love's strong cords? For your good, God allows you to suffer pain, disappointment, embarrassment, injury, so that somehow through those things, you will come to your senses again and remembered how small indeed you truly are, that without Him you can do nothing. And you're brought back to meekness. And you're brought back to happiness. For blessed, happy are the meek. But what is this thing called meekness? Since it's a considered taboo, a useless commodity by the world, it's been discarded as useless by kingdoms and societies. We know so little of what this word really means. And so let's spend, first of all, as I direct your attention, to the descriptions of meekness that we find in the Bible. I'm not going to give you the definition just yet, because it would just be a concept. I want to put concrete ideas and examples into your mind, and then we'll, from those examples and truths found in the Scripture, we'll develop a definition. So let me direct your attention first to the descriptions of meekness that we find in the Bible. First, meekness is an ability to suffer indignity for the glory of Christ. Meekness is this ability that Christians have to suffer wrong in order that their Jesus is exalted and glorified. Now, to a man or a woman who is not a Christian, that sounds utterly ridiculous, because the way of the world is not to be glorified in wrong and injustices. A man who is exalted, lifted up, and promoted in our times is a man who has overcome all injustices. He's overcome his difficulties. How can Christ be glorified in our suffering? Well, we'll share that before this message is over, but let me say to you, he does so through the meekness of his people. You see, meekness is the very opposite of pride. When we live, as we live now, in a time where men strut and they vaunt themselves, they live by the philosophy of pull yourself up by your bootstraps, where men will step on other men in order to gain, to better themselves, meekness is the opposite of all of that. We live in an hour and we're souls, even among Christians, who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, will eat your lunch if you cross them. They'll destroy one another, all in the name of not glory to Christ, but glory to self. Meekness is quite the contrary. It's a direct 100-degree opposite of that. It's to take the lower position rather than the high one. It's to be defrauded rather than to be elevated. Meekness is the very opposite. Let me give you a handle by which you can understand it a little better. Meekness is this ability to be able to suffer for the glory of Christ. Let me tell you in particular, it's the ability to leave revenge in the hands of the Lord and not seek it yourself when you have been wronged. That's meekness. Meekness, here's the command of Scripture that says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Meekness believes that. Meekness believes that it's the place of God to correct all wrongs, and it does not belong to you or I. That's the spirit of meekness. It's to receive insult from even a brother or sister in the Lord and choose to suffer it. This is what the church needs today. I am convinced that this is one of the greatest needs among Christians today, the spirit of meekness to return. Because we will injure one another sooner or later. Is it not true? Why, husbands and wives do it all the time, and they love each other more than they love anybody else. And yet even in their love for one another, they end up offending, hurting, injuring one another from time to time. It's bound to happen among a body of believers. It does happen. But meekness is that wet blanket that keeps the sparks of offense from causing a fire that destroys. How many times has something been said amongst us that was cutting, hurting, deeply wounded? And yet the Spirit of God, like water, came and doused any potential of a hazardous flame. That's the spirit of meekness that did that. Meekness will be willingly defrauded and injured in the case of a brother or sister. Listen to what the Word of God says. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Here was a particular church where meekness did not have its way. And brothers would have a falling out, and instead of resolving it amongst themselves, they'd take each other to court. Paul asked this scathing question. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? Paul, how can you ask that of me? This man has injured me. He has taken property that doesn't belong to him, belongs to me. I've suffered loss. You're telling me to accept it quietly, to not get what's fair, do not seek justice. How can you ask me of that? Here's how he asks it: for the glory of Jesus Christ. This is not about you and me. This is not about me furthering my rights and defending them. This is about Jesus Christ being glorified, that the world might know that we love one another, and even if one of our own wounds us, we will love him for the glory of Jesus Christ, because it's Jesus' reputation that is of more value to us than our rights and our own reputation. That's the spirit of meekness. Oh, may it prevail amongst us. May it have its way in this congregation. Secondly, meekness can be described as more than an ability to suffer wrongly. It's also to forgive those who wrong you. A man or woman who finds it difficult to forgive is not a meek man or woman, because meekness can forgive. Peter, thinking he would be humble, goes to the master and says, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" 7 times. He thought quite highly of himself. He was quite proud of his humility. And Jesus says, "No, 70 times 7. Peter, you're still too proud. You're still too vaunted. You're still too self-assured. You're still too much looking out for your own regard and business. If you're about my business, you forgive regardless." So meekness is this ability not only to suffer the wrong done to you by others, but the ability to forgive those who have harmed you. Meekness is no better demonstrated than when Stephen is being executed by stoning. Stoning is not an immediate death. It is to have the life beaten out of you by being pulmeted with rocks. And here he is. No place to go. He's constricted. And now the rocks are falling upon his body. He can feel contusions. He senses his arm is now broken. His shoulder's dislocated. And he begins to feel faintness from the shock of it all. But all of a sudden he looks up and he sees Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God the Father. And he utters this remarkable prayer: "Father, do not lay this sin to their charge." There is meekness. So you've suffered wrong, have you? So you've been injured. Did you respond like Stephen? Did you forgive? Or do you still carry that wound? Do you protect it? Do you cherish it so that you are justified in your unforgiveness? Blessed are the meek. Thirdly, I would describe meekness is more than just forgiveness. It's more than suffering injury. It's more than just forgiving. It's to do good to them that wrong you. You just don't forgive. You take a proactive stance. You now make effort to go to them and do something wonderful. Meekness is guided by this command of our Lord. "But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for them that persecute you. That's the spirit of meekness that can get up after being injured and actually seek somebody's good. Oh, you say, this is not possible for me. Well, I want to ask you, are you a Christian? Because Jesus is describing Christians here. He's telling you who's already in the kingdom. Not how you get into the kingdom, but who already is subjects of His kingdom. And if you say, this is beyond me, well, I have to ask you, are you a Christian then? Have you truly been saved? These are the characteristics of all who have been saved. Pastor, I believe I've been saved, but I find it quite difficult. Yes, you do. I didn't say it would be easy. But there's something in the heart of every man and woman here that's saved that wants to be like this. Wants to be like this. Men of extraordinary stature and size are able to do sometimes great acts of strength. But with all of their feats of might, it cannot compare to men and women of an extraordinary spiritual stature who are able to do incredible acts of forgiveness and goodness in the face of adversity and injury. These are the true giants among us. That little woman who has nothing, the smallest among us, yet who can do good, who do evil to them. Oh, I'm telling you, look at that specimen and you will look at strength extraordinary. That's the spirit of meekness. Fourthly, meekness entertains the possibility you are wrong when confronted. We've talked up to this point that meekness is the ability to take wrong and respond correctly. Because when you respond correctly to injury, you'll be happy. Blessed are they the meek. Have you not experienced that? Somebody does you wrong and you forgive them. The release you have. Somebody does you wrong and you do good to them. You don't return evil for evil. You return evil or good for evil. And isn't there just a great sense of satisfaction that fills your heart? You feel good about it. Why? Because Jesus said, blessed, happy are the meek. You see, God knows how you're really wired. You know why? He's the great electrician who wired you. He knows how the conduit of spiritual power works and flows in the human soul. He knows that if you follow His prescription, you will truly be happy. You follow the world, and happiness will always elude you. Several of you are wanting to be happy. I concur. I want it too. But I want to tell you, you've yet to find the right way. You're on the wrong path. Try the path of Christ. Follow His prescription. Try it His way. You've tried every other way. And are you happy? Not at all, are you? Try Christ. It sounds so unbelievable. I know. That's why it works. I know it sounds strange and paradoxical that a meek man could be the happiest person among us, but it's true. Why? Because it's based not upon human logic, but supernatural power. The very thing we need. Christ has not commissioned or called any of you to live by your own wits or strength. No, He's called us to live by power divine, from a strength and influence that's given only from above. Will you receive it? Will you be transformed by this power? Will you let it change you? This is the offer and invitation that God gives today. I'll make a man out of you. I'll make a lady out of you. I'll make a strong person, a valiant warrior. 1,000 will fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left hand. How come? Because you found the way of peace and happiness and contentment through Christ Jesus. So up to this point, I've talked about being wronged. But what about when you are wrong? How does the spirit of meekness work? Well, it entertains the possibility that I could have been wrong. It does not take the position of immediate defense. Boy, this is not an easy one, I know. And I've had to live through it many times, and I'm sure I'll have to live through it many more times. To have somebody come to you and say, "Brother, I think you missed it." What's the immediate reaction of any of us? Defend ourselves. Somebody's got to come to our aid. Who better than ourselves? You can't leave self hanging out there all by itself. You've got to have support. And so you muster up your own defense. That's not meekness. Meekness will actually listen to the complaint. Meekness will actually entertain the idea the person may be right. And God forbid, but it will also entertain the idea that you could possibly be wrong. That's meekness. Oh, how Christians need to be meek. We're not perfect. We still act sinful and ugly. Often we are motivated by the same impulses that those who have yet to come to know Christ are motivated by, the flesh. Thankfully, somebody would come to us in love and the Spirit of Christ and say, "Would you stop and think about this with me?" Meekness says, "Yes, I will. In fact, I'll do more than that. I'll pray about it." And thank the person for it, genuinely. Fifthly, meekness is faith in God that He's working to aid you, not hurt you. Now we're getting to the very heart of meekness. What makes it tick? What makes it work? It is faith in God. It's this confident certainty that God is working on my behalf in all things, even when people injure me, even when things do not go my way, even when the future is quite dark and uncertain to me. I have a confidence that God is not against me. He's not doing something to me. He's actually for me. That's meekness. You see, meekness glorifies Jesus Christ. Now, remember, I started out here. Meekness is described as this ability to suffer wrong for the glory of Christ. Here's how. Because God can be glorified in all of your pains, all of your troubles, all of your disappointments, because if you respond as He responds, which is totally unbelievable to the world, to the non-Christian, they can't understand how you respond that way. They have to acknowledge one of two things. You're either crazy, or it must work. And the more they get to know you, they find out this person is not like the average man or woman. He's got something of another world about him or her. And Christ is glorified. But not only is He glorified in the way you respond, but in your faith alone, that you are trusting that no matter what happens in your life, whether it be diagnosed with a liver disablement, or whether a loss of a loved one, or the loss of a position at the office, God is sovereignly, providentially working in my life so that nothing is happening to me except by His direct hand. Therefore, I can be at peace. That's the spirit of meekness. How meek are you? The very first moment the news of problems come, is there that anxious alarm in your heart? Or is there this almost native instinct to run to your Father and say, "Oh God, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then lastly, meekness can be described as the natural result of poverty of spirit. Now let me explain. As I've said before, every one of these Beatitudes flow out of the preceding one, and they ultimately all flow out of the very first one, poverty of spirit. A meek man or a meek woman, are you listening? Say amen. Meekness does not see itself deserving anything but judgment. A man or a woman who has looked deep into their heart and they have seen nothing commendable, praiseworthy, complimentary, nothing good. All they see is filth and evil. Even their pretense to be good, God uncovers that and shows its heart, its ugly heart, and they're repulsed by it. They see nothing good in them. What do you think then, after realizing that, is the next response? Woe is me. I'm in trouble, is the translation. Woe is me means, look out, I deserve nothing good because I am not good. But God comes along to those who acknowledge they're not good and see it and believe it. And what does He do? He does the opposite of what they deserve. What does He do? He treats them good. He treats them real good. Amen? Real good. Therefore, meekness fills their heart so that when others do them wrong or when circumstances are not as they had hoped, the meek can rest in the fact that they deserve far worse than what they're getting. And they're being treated far better than they deserve. Does that make sense? But until you really see the poverty of your heart, you cannot respond meekly. You will always think, I'm not getting what I deserve. I'm not getting the good that I is entitled to me. I don't deserve this. What motivates you, dear friend? That the problems and the difficulties of life you don't deserve? Or, I deserve far worse than this. Thank you, Lord, that you're not letting me get what I do truly deserve. Well, let me give you some examples from the Bible of meekness real quickly. The Bible says of Moses in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, that he was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Now, why was this stated at this particular time? And you know, Moses wrote this. Because almost kind of like Moses is writing about himself, bragging how humble he is. But that's not the point. It's at a time when people were turning against Moses. He was used to that. He was used to the children of Israel bucking him almost every step of the way. But this time it was a little different. This time it was his actual brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam, who had lifted up their voices in complaint against Moses. Miriam had actually found fault with Moses' wife because she wasn't like them. And as a result of her complaint against Moses, the Bible says that God gave her leprosy. She immediately turned leprous. Do you know what Moses did? By this time, I would think that he would be filled up to here with complaints. He hears them every day. And now his own family's turning on him. Well, what would you do? How would you have responded? Probably not like Moses, who went to the Lord and prayed that God would heal his sister. Ah, there's meekness. Do you see it? There's meekness. And what about David? When David was wrong by Shimei, Absalom, his son, is forming a campaign to dethrone his father. And David has to flee the throne, his palace, and Jerusalem. And as he's leaving Jerusalem, this guy starts throwing rocks at the king. And Abishai, his bodyguard, says to the king, David, do you want me to take his head off of his shoulders? I'll be glad to do so, your honor. But David said, no, let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. Do you hear it? There's meekness. Meekness is this faith in God that He's working to help you, not hurt you. You see God in everything, behind everything. This is what David was doing. Let him alone. God's told him to do that. It may be the Lord will look on my afflictions. The Lord will repay me with good for His cursing me this day. But what about when David was wronged? But what about when he did wrong? You know the story of David, don't you? His great sin. I hate that chapter. I tell you, every time I come to 2 Samuel 11, I weep. I always weep. I wish David had... I every time I just pray, and as I read it, maybe this time he won't look. None of this would have happened. But he does look. He looks at a woman bathing on a rooftop, which was not uncommon in those days. And he lusts after her. This is this godly man. He sins for her. They have relations. She ends up being pregnant. To cover his sin, because he's the king, he can do it. He orchestrated her husband's murder by putting him in the very heat of the battle and then having all the other troops withdraw from him. And there he is left at the wall as arrows and spears and things were being shot at him, all there alone, and he dies. Months went by, and now God is ready to deal with his child, David. And he sends the prophet Nathan, and Nathan confronts him with his sin. Do you know what David did? Listen to what he did. He said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord," period. Not another word is said. No justification, no explanation of why he had done what he had done. He simply acknowledged it. I have sinned against the Lord. That's what the spirit of meekness does. When it's confronted, it acknowledges responsibility. But then the greatest example of meekness is not David nor Moses. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to our Lord. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." The word meek that Jesus uses here is really a word that you could translate gentle. I'm gentle and humble. That's what meekness is. It is to be able to be, as Christ was, reviled and yet not reviled in return. To be threatened and yet not threaten in return, but commit himself to he who judges righteously to his Father. Jesus was meek. Oh, I wish I had the ability that some have to be able to describe the beauty of Christ in human tongue. But even human tongues cannot tell of his greatness. We have to go to a superior language and tongue, the tongues of angels. But do you know, not even the angel can describe the excellency of this man called Jesus Christ to us. Even the angels above baffle. They still marvel at the wonder and the spectacle of it all. When Jesus disrobed himself of heaven's glory, being God, he looked at one of us. Marred and imperfect. God reduces himself microscopically to become a man. And to suffer the injustices of every one of you and me. To hang on a cross and take the justice and the punishment of God against our sins. Friends, there is none meeker than our Lord Savior. Gentle is He. Well, I hope these things are enough for us to now to put together a definition. So let us attempt that. Let me direct your attention. First of all, however, before I give you what I think meekness is in a statement, what it is not weakness. I hope nobody's misunderstood today. We're not talking about being weak or timid. You think of somebody that goes around and says, "Well, struck on one cheek, I'll turn to you my other." You see that as weakness. No. How can that be weakness? Everything in you tells you you need to fight back. It takes greater strength to restrain yourself than to let yourself go and do what's natural. No, meek people are a people of truth, and they will not compromise. Go through the ages. I've just mentioned Stephen, but we can keep turning the chapters of church history, and century after century, people being taken to stakes where they are tied and set on fire, where people were beheaded, where people were actually nailed to crosses, turned upside down. Why? Because the strength of their convictions would not let them recant their love for Christ. They would not compromise with truth. They did not love their lives unto death. They'd rather die than to compromise. Don't you dare call them weak. Of whom the world was not worthy, says the writer of Hebrews. No, it's not weakness. Nor is it passivity. You know what passivity, you know what I mean? Just kind of laid back and take whatever comes, and kind of a fatalistic mentality. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. You know, I can't change it, so I just might as well get used to it. That's not meekness. Not hardly. No, meek people are people who are very active because they have truth. They get out there. They just don't believe in que sera. Sera, they believe in God who ordains all things and goes before them. So meekness is not weakness nor passivity. Here's what I believe meekness is. I want to give you an accurate biblical view of what of meekness is, and here it is. It's an accurate biblical view of you, of yourself, in relationship to God and man. And or, in other words, meekness is the quality of gentleness that refuses to side with self-centeredness in order to submit to God and love others. That's meekness. It's a gentleness of spirit that says, I'm not going to rebel against God. I'm going to submit to Him, even though this is not pleasant. Because I believe He does love me, and He means for my well-being. He's helping me, not hurting me. And so it's a gentle spirit that doesn't buck, resist, or fight back. It gladly yields to the Spirit of God and says, here I am, do with me as you please. That, my dear friend, all that is what a Christian is. He or she is a person that's yielded their rights over to God. How can you become a Christian today? Here's how you become a Christian. You resign from your rights and turn them over to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you now hold title to my life. You have the rights to do with me as you please. I'm telling you, I don't care what you're feeling right now. If you genuinely did that, that's your heart, that's your desire. You are a Christian. Gentleness that will no longer resist God, but submit to Him. But also, a gentleness that will not lash out to others, but love them. That will be willing to lower yourself on behalf of somebody else. To think of yourself not better than the other, but lesser. That's a quality of gentleness that refuses to side with self-centeredness, but submit to God and to love others. Well, I need to get to my final point before we leave today. I want to give you God's promise to the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. One day, dear friend, you and I are going to rule this place. Talk of fantasy? No. Repeating of what we've heard our Father say. It's the promise of God. But before that time comes, I believe that there is a present tense to this verse, not just future. In Psalm 37 and verse 11 we read, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Jesus was quoting just the scriptures of the Old Testament. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I don't believe it's just future peace. I believe it's peace for this moment. Now let me explain why I say that. A meek man has learned to trust in God no matter what's happening to him. And if that is true, a contentment rules his heart. And where there is contentment with your present environment and circumstances, there will be peace. Most of my counseling problems can be solved right here. So I want everybody to listen. Save me some time and you some time. Most of your hearts are troubled and lack peace to the point that you'll call, which is okay. Not saying you don't call. But maybe you'll remember this so you won't even get to this point of desperation. Because the time you call the pastor, it's desperate now. I'm one of the last resources. So let's save some time. The issue of a troubled heart is because you're not content with your circumstances. What else can it be? You don't like your marriage. You don't like your health issues. You don't like your financial arrangement. You don't like your living conditions. You don't like work environment and loads. On and on and on ago. Whatever the problem is, it's a discontentment with your circumstances and your environment. And even in your relationship with God, there can become discontentment because you've refused to submit to God, which is sin. If you will learn to be meek, if you will cooperate with the spirit of meekness, Christ Jesus in you, you will have this uncanny ability to be learned to be content in whatever state you are, so that even if you were writing a letter to the Philippians in the dank coldness of a dreary jail, you could say, rejoice. And again I say unto you, rejoice. No, that's not just reserved for apostles. It's reserved for normal, average, everyday Christians to whom the apostle was writing. Why? Because he learned to be content. He was meek. But not only is it present contentment for the Christian, but listen, dear sinner friend, you're not sure you're a Christian? Listen to me. Why do you want to live another hour, or may I even suggest another minute, with inner turmoil when you could be at peace internally? Your conscience could be quiet for the first time. You could be at peace with God, but peace within your own heart toward yourself. Why do you want to continue on this madless, senseless roller coaster? Or better yet, circular cage where the more and the harder you run, you gain no position. You do not get ahead. You just keep going through the motions. And more and more desperate, more and more darkness, more and more depressed, more and more discouraged, more and more troubled. Why? When God this moment offers you blessed happiness and contentment by being able to take your spirit. Now here's the good news. Take your spirit that you could never do any of these things. You couldn't even imitate them if you wanted to. And He can make you like this by putting His spirit in yours and giving you a heart of meekness. He can literally transform you. That's the power of the gospel. You see, what makes my preaching, I think, different from most of what we're hearing in this American modern gospel is this: that I can only promise you as much as God's power can do, not what you can do. And I'm holding out to you a God that is so powerful, He can literally transform you. This is not make-believe or wishful thinking. You're looking at a man that's being transformed still yet. So if you find fault with me today, just wait a little while. He'll deal with it. He's still working. And He will work on you and literally transform you. That's what I'm offering you. That's the only gospel worth listening to and submitting to today. He can give you present peace and then give you a future where you will have the earth as your domain forever and ever with Him. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Some of you have been blessed by Philippians 1:27. I've been hearing it. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. How can I do that? Here it is. Be meek like your Lord. Take the low road rather than the high road. Humble yourself. Put yourself at somebody's disposal. Even if they injure or hurt you, pray for them, forgive them, do good to them. This is what Christ has done for you. There's not a person in this room that has not injured our Lord Jesus Christ. Even I, even though I have been preaching for Him for years and serving Him, I've injured Him, and I'm not for sure that I don't do it daily to some effect. And yet I want you to know that my Jesus is still meek towards me, gentle towards me, loving towards me, forgiving towards me, and continues to do good towards me even when I have mistreated Him. You want your conduct to be worthy of the gospel of Christ? Then act like your Savior, who is gentle and lowly. Who, although has a position above every one of us in authority, if He would just choose to do so, He could have you on your face right now. But He doesn't take that position of superiority. But He dons a towel, and with a basin of water, He washes your feet as a lowly servant who lovingly serves us day after day after day. Dear sinner friend, this is the Jesus I wished you to know, who will love and serve you and will ensure you a future with Him, where you and Him will rule and reign and inherit the earth, where the proud man will be cast low and the humble man will be exalted. This is what He extends. Will you receive it? How can I receive it? How can I, when I've done what I've done to Him and sinned so greatly, how can I receive this? I tell you, simply, humble yourself and take it. Extend your hand. Take the gift. Take it to yourself. Claim it as your own. Believe it. And you will become meek and lowly like your Savior. Amen.